Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley on the Blake Radio Network. On each and every show, Doc takes you inside the world of sports to hear from the movers, shakers, and decision makers. I know you thought there were seven wonders of the universe, where here's the eighth, Doc Stanley.
Doc Stanley. Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network. Rainbow Soul is the channel. Sports in Depth is the show. And we always open Sports in Depth with that tune by the late, great John Coltrane. The album, I Love Supreme. Dear Lord, we thank you for another day. Asking you that in each and every way. You have your will and way. We thank you, Lord. Little things we so largely take for granted. We thank you, dear Lord. That your way is our way. Thank you, Lord, for blessings forthcoming. Have come unseen, all unmerited. And more importantly, dear Lord, let your way be our way. We ask that you bless our families, dear Lord. Bless our present, my family here. New York, Virginia, and Brazil. And more importantly, Lord, we want to say thank you. So though everybody's God, you are the one and only true God. And we thank you for your darling son, Jesus, and we just come and say to the Lord, thank you. And ask you to bless the name of your darling son, Jesus. Amen. Doc Stanley, Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soul Channel, Sports and Depth of the show. It is Sunday. And we are finally getting back into the studio, getting things back on in a... let's say regular mode, giving you 2 hours on Sundays. You know, in Brazil, we gave you the hour shows. And last week, didn't get to you due to the fact that the Federal Union in Virginia was going to do it live. And what I'll do is 2 years after, I really had thought about that. Probably done it live from the Howard Federal Union in Portsmouth, Virginia. As you know, shows in the past have come from São Paulo, Brazil, as well as Fortaleza, Brazil. And tonight we come to the capital city of the world, as they say in Portuguese and Espanol, Nueva York. And as always, when we come on, we want to let the man who will simply bring on the Sports in Depth family, and the one and only, looking for a little intro for him right now. I thought we had a little special intro for none other than Belson. The rest of the crew will be here tonight. We were up to Jet Camp today, me and C-Wings. So we got some talk from there. Some interesting things that will kind of validate some of the things that Rooney has said all along. And some of the things that will kind of lead to maybe what some other people have been saying all along. And with that, we will look. Welcome to Sports in Depth. Ladies and gentlemen, the one only. Matt, spell Biff Junior.
Thank you very much, Doctor. The Sports in Depth Nation is here. The Sports in Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I'm here. We're here via the Blake Radio Network. And the straw that stirs the drink is here. And that is Doc Stanley. Take it away, Doc.
Thank you, Rooney. Nobody does it better. I love that song from James Bond movie, Nobody. That Nobody Does It Better Than You. Great intro. Great job as always. And right now, it is you and I who are inside the sports box, as we used to say back with the day of Larry Hardy. I got a chance to talk to Larry today up at the Jet Camp with Sea Wings, and it was really a very nice experience. You know, they're back at Cortland. They didn't go there last year due to the strike and the shortened season. And in listening to Larry on ESPN and our return Turk something was said that Courtland brought more of a family mindset to the players, being 3 hours away from family and all. You had to bond, you had to coexist, you had to make friendships, and they felt that that's somehow not a excuse and not a reason, but some of the residue that brought about the sort of things that came about last year in the locker room. And if they see it in New York City, it's not seen as a positive season, especially when you went to back-to-back championship games. But 8-8 was a losing season, but New York City, 8-8 is not a winning season. And is that you, Harold? I'm talking Harold. Harold Rose, we got C-Wings. C-Wings, are you with us? Look for C-Wings.
Hoopster. Mr. Hoopster, hey, how you doing?
Hoopster. Okay, Hoopster.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, Hoopster. And real quickly, Brownsville Day, Friday. How did things go there? You didn't go out this year, though, did you, Hoopster? What happened?
No, I ain't go this year, man.
And, I think a lot of guys didn't come this year, am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah, because of Jock's death. Yeah, it shook a lot of people up.
Yeah. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soul Chess One. Hoopster, let's go with you real quickly here. I was really stunned. Okay, not so much of Nash going to L.A., but turning around and finding, if I'm correct, you've got time to follow up on this, but my good buddy there, Mr. Hill.
Grant Hill.
Went to the Clippers?
Signed with the Clippers. Yeah, he signed with the Clippers.
What was the rationale behind that?
I don't know, man. I'm still trying to figure that out. That's kind of a surprise to me. And Lamar Odom went back. And
Lamar's back with
Lamar Odom went back to the Clippers, yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Terriot, who used to play with the Miami Heat, he signed with the Clippers. As you know, he played in the Olympics today, France against the United States today.
United States got together, the NBA scoring champion, youngest man, everyone is scoring championship, 22 points, led the new USA team over France, and 9 points and a host of assists by NBA champion, the King, LeBron James.
Yeah.
And USA is off and running and 1-0 as they're looking to win the gold medal. A lot of conversation has come up. Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Network, Rainbow Soda Channel Sports Network for the show. And we will talk about birthdays in a minute, too. Little Miles Davis in the background. Once again, as we kick the month of July off, we just send happy birthday to my sister, Teresa, on the 6th of July.
Oh, was
the
birthday.
Oh, yeah. It was also the birthday of Willie Randolph, first African-American captain of the Yankees, and first African-American manager of the New York Mets. The second was the man who brings us on every week, the greatest African-American sportscast in the history of New York City Radio, Larry Hardesty, the second of this month, along with the first man ever to do 40-40 in the history of Major League Baseball, 42 home runs, 40 stolen bases, the Cuban superstar of baseball, Rookie of the Year, MVP, Jose Canseco, the 10th, my cousin Reggie, 15th, the first ever African-American commander of the JCSC unit in the history of the United States Army, Robert L. Bethay, Jr., happens to be my cousin. The birthdays, we follow the month, but we will also hit you some more. And it was big, my family reunion last year. My grandfather from June to the end of July had 13 great and grandchildren born. From his birthday, from the 26th to the 31st, 11. His birthday is the same day as that of the greatest shortstop in the history of New York Yankees, a man who wears number 2 justifiably because he is second to none as a player, as a person, as a human being, Derek Sanderson Jeter. But, Officer, the big thing has been going back and forth. Could this team have beaten the Dream Team? Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson.
Man. No. Let's cut it out. Ridiculous.
Okay.
We're going to have these kind of conversations.
Let's say it was disgusting.
Now, you know, last night.
That would have been a good game. It would have been a good game, but.
What was said by a good point brought up by Stephen A. Smith, as we have the incomparable, the first and only African-American matchmaker in history, massacre of boxing, the one and only Harold Weston Jr. What was said by Stephen A. Smith? He said, look, look, they don't beat these guys in the 7-game series, but they could have won one game. They just, you know, they could have won one game. He says, you know,
they don't won three games.
I mean, that's, he said, I mean, they don't win the series. He said, but, you know, they could have won at least one game. He said, you know, don't, he said,
three games,
Doc. Yeah, okay, no, I mean, well, that's what he's saying. Yeah, I'm not betting against MJ. But, you know, the team that people forget is that the second dream team. And, you know,
but they ain't no mashed potatoes now. You got Carmelo, you got LeBron, you got Chris Paul. Hey, they ain't no mashed potatoes.
Well, I mean, you know, there's
now you got the young guys can play now. Then you got Tyson Chandler. Yeah,
they
got a pretty nice squad.
Oh, yeah.
They don't beat the Michael Jordan, Patrick Ewing, Charles Barkley dream team. This team doesn't beat that squad, I'm sorry to say. They're good. LeBron and company is very, very good. Kobe's a bona fide assassin in the sporting sense of the word. They don't beat Michael and Patrick and company. I'm sorry, they just don't.
But don't worry. Okay, now, what I wrote a good story on the blog, and I'd like everybody with a chance to look at it. Doc Stanley's sportsindepth.blogspot.com.br. That's my blog from Brazil. As you also know, Doc Stanley Sports In Depth. Has Doc Stanley, Doc Stanley Sports.com on my sports site. Now, you know, what people forget, gang, is they have forgotten about the second dream team. And that's one of the things I'm very proud of. You know, I have an autograph posted from that second green team. Larry Johnson was one of the forwards. Sean Kemp was one of the forwards. Derek Coleman was one of the forwards. And those three guys there definitely compare with the forwards that that team had. Okay, in the backcourt, Isaiah Thomas, who compares to anybody you put in that backcourt. Joe Dumars, okay, Joe Dumars is not the superstar level of Michael, but definitely the equal of John Stockton. Maybe not the equal of Magic Johnson and Jordan, but, you know, also they had their white guys, which happened to be Mark Price and Dan Majerle. And the man in the middle, who nobody could have handled on that dream team, was another than Shaquille O'Neal. This team, Dream Team 2, okay, could have beaten Dream Team 1, okay? You know, but it's amazing that you never hear about Dream Team 2. But if you match them up, Kemp, Coleman, okay, and we talk about in the hole, nobody handles Shaq in the hole. He's going to gorilla and do what he wants in the hole. But as far as forward,
well, that's another reason, Doc, that this team doesn't beat them in the series, Doc, for the most part, because. And then even though this dream team is going, you know, obviously going to win it all, the current dream team, but they don't have the requisite number of bigs to deal with that squad anyway.
You talking about the Kobe's team? Kobe's team?
The current team doesn't have the requisite number of big
Kobe,
men.
I mean, Kobe, no, but the thing that Stephen A. Smith has to say, there's a couple of things Stephen A. says that makes very good point. They could have won one game, okay? They could have won maybe two games, okay? I mean, we give them a couple of games. But what I'm saying is what nobody talks about is Dream Team 2, who had a superior core of forwards. Okay? Yeah, you had Sean Kemp, you had Larry Johnson, and you had Derek Coleman. Okay? And there's nobody on Dream Team 1 who had the talent and skills of Derek Coleman, and Derek Coleman was at his best. Okay?
Yeah, he was at his best, definitely.
Sean Kemp, okay? Sean Kemp could have bumped booties and thumped down low with Scotty and Barkley. Okay? And Larry Johnson. What is my mama? Chop me. So those forwards, not only are they just superior, but Bad Back Larry does nothing with those guys. Bad Back Larry and stiff and immobile Karl Malone does nothing with those guys. And nobody, N-O-B-O-D-Y, does anything with Shaquille O'Neal in the hole. Now, the guards.
Just run rampant under there, Doc.
Huh?
Shaq just runs rampant over there against
this
time.
Now, in the backcourt, you got Michael and you got Magic. But as far as a guard, Isaiah Thomas is the equal of anybody you put at the point
guard spot. Stockton is not in his class. He's right in the same class with Magic. And as a guard and a point guard, he's superior to Michael Jeffrey Jordan. This team, team number two, BEAT, beats team number one. And you never hear anybody say one word about this team. Okay.
No.
Doc Stanley, Sports Depth on the Blake Network. Hold on, Harold. Hold on, Harold. Sports Depth on the Blake Network. Go ahead, Harold.
I just want to say one thing. One thing about our society and people in general. I think that the reason why nobody ever said anything about the Dream Team 2 is because they never thought that they equal up to Dream Team 1. And that's the reason why nobody ever mentioned. I mean, we can put all these stats together. We can put the numbers together and all that. But in reality, it ain't going to never happen. But the fact is, in reality, unless they played each other and showed it, they... You know, you'll never know who was the best.
Well, I mean, Harold, no question about that. But my point is that everybody acts like that first Dream Team was the...
Everybody acts like Dream Team 1 is the one.
Dream Team 1 was not really a true Dream Team, okay? First of all, John Stockton and Chris Mullin should have not been on that team. Okay, that's first of all.
Chris and Leighton should have been on there neither.
Okay, so there's three guys... who are, in the words of Marion Boykin, Marion B. Boykin, black, bodacious, brilliant, and brother, they were perpetrating a fraud. You know, it is sad and touching, in your words, Harold, sad and touching that those other African-American brothers couldn't have put the bullshit aside and said, Isaiah, come on, baby, because you should have been there. Stockton shouldn't have been there.
Oh, you know why Isaiah didn't go? I mean, let's say.
I know why he didn't go, but right. He should have been there. Harold, it should have been. I don't care why he didn't go. Isaiah, if you're giving me the best product, don't pull up my driveway, which are the Lux Model Ford. I want the Mercedes. I want the Jaguars. I want the Isaiah Lord Thomas should have been there, as well as Dominic Wilkins should have been there. Okay,
yeah.
Dominic Wilkins, are you Chris Mullin? Are you serious over Dominic Wilkins or Chris Mullin over Larry Johnson? Are you serious? Chris Mullin? I mean, hey, Reggie Miller should have been there ahead of Chris Mullin.
Definitely.
Chris Mullin, the only guy of non-African-American descent on that team should have been the one and only Larry Joe Bird, the Pearl Harbor baby, the birthday with our own Mel Smith Jr. Gang, Harold, did you hear? And it seems that anybody can get a promotion license now. You made a call yesterday. 50
hey, Doc,
cent.
I'm here.
Okay, hey Rooney. Live from the Olympics with his man Lee Samuels is Dusty. But and you talked about it, Dusty. But Harold, I want you to hit on it first, and we're going to get to Sea Wings here before Harold. It's true now. You made some calls. 50 Cent is licensed to promote fights in New York City, and he's working on a license in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Harold?
My thoughts is a good move on his part. I mean, he's going to tie him and Floyd Mayweather is going to tie up together, and they're going to be partners in promotion. What it is, they're preparing for Mayweather's going to retire. And so he's just setting his friend up in a promotional situation to help him out with them both making some money. But they're going to be finishing out Mayweather's career under that new promotion that they have him with 50 Cent on board. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, they have the name for it. I think Team Money, TMT Promotions. And
right.
That's the name of the team, TMT Promotions. And that's how they're going to be making their money.
You know, TMT
Promotions.
They'll be all right. They'll be all right as long as Mayweather keeps fighting and winning. But when Mayweather retires, now they're in the real ballpark. They're in the field where now they got to pick some superstars and know who knows how to pick some fighters. Then they got to get the trainers to train the fighters to make them better fighters. So now that's where everybody's in a limbo right now. Is because nobody knows how to pick good fighters and nobody knows how to train fighters. And they don't know how to make fighters into superstars. So that's the problem they're having now.
You know, it was a problem. I remember talking to Oscar De La Hoya. I said, you know, Oscar, as long as you're fighting, you're in good shape because the best fighter in Golden Boy is you. Okay, we've got Harold Weston Jr. C-Wings, are you, did you get with us yet?
C-Wings is in studio.
Okay, now, did we get your buddy? Did he call in for us today, too?
He should be in Smoker Cop. I think he's on. He may be in.
Yeah, I'm on.
Okay, this is Smoker. Okay, C-Wings, you want to do something to us and let him have the floor?
Good evening to the Sports and Death Nation and our listeners. I'd like to welcome Smoker Cop Dave Steve, who has a book out that he would like to tell us about.
Hey, thanks, brother. Yeah, I got a new book out. I think it's a lot of fans are gonna like it. It's called iBoxer, the Internet Boxer. It's basically downloadable. You can look it up on Google or whatever. And what it does is it explains some parts of boxing. I'm doing a basic book first, something about the stance and about footwork, about distance, about.
Dave, can you give us and the listeners out there a little background on yourself and your experience in the area of boxing?
Well, in boxing, besides being an amateur boxer, I never went pro. I run the police department team for the last 15 years, and I have worked with some pro fighters. You know, I have worked with some pro fighters and worked out of Gleason.
Can you name the fighters you worked with?
I worked with Joe Green Jr. I worked with Will Wyszynski, and I got a chance to work with Chad Judah in one of his training camps, which was pretty interesting.
Okay, at this time, then, with the boxing set of Harold and you and Dusty, it's time for cross examination. You got some questions for him, Harold? Start it off.
I wish him all the best.
Doc,
can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Uh-huh. I'm getting a kind of strange feedback.
I'm trying to find it. Maybe coming from my new guest. Let me see something. Hello. Okay.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, he's still there, so it's not from there. It may be from Wings. Dusty, any questions for the new man venturing in his working with the police department in boxing?
Well, the police department always kicks the fire department's ass, and that's what pissed me off.
I was just about to ask that, Dust.
The battle of the badges. Are you training the battle of the badges? Are you training guys with the?
Yes. Yeah. We're fighting. We're fighting the fire department in Madison Square Garden November 9th this year.
Yeah, November 9th. You got a big battle there with the battle of the badges and all that. But no,
right.
it's good. It's an interesting world for charity, as everybody knows. The
right.
Burn Center and the police widows and all that nonsense. And it's a good ongoing rivalry. If it's not boxing, it's football. If it's not football, it's hockey.
Right.
I don't know if there's anything with baseball or basketball, but
I'll tell you what. What the good thing is right now is we hooked up with Teddy Atlas, and our police charities, Cops and Kids. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but PAL has thrown boxing out of its program. PAL has thrown boxing out. New York City.
How long has boxing been deleted from PAL?
That's surprising. I'm a product of PAL, and they have stopped boxing.
How long?
They have stopped boxing
when?
For the last 3 years. For the last
really?
3 years. Yes, they have.
Wow.
And
Harold,
we have
did you fight PAL boxing, Harold? Did you fight PAL?
Nah, I was Department of Parks.
Okay.
Oh, Department of Parks Recreation.
That's also a disgrace on my account, Doc, because my former boxing coach, Richie Hill, was once the head
Richie
of
Hill, PAL
boxing. So that's a real tough blow.
Yeah,
that's
what happened? I mean, it's an amazing thing. You know, taxes go up. Donations supposedly funded to these organizations, and it just once again using Harold's line, staying in touch. How did this happen? How does New York City, with some of the greatest fighters in the history of the sport, have come from PAL, and some of the Harold Wesson, one of the great ones from the Parkies and Dusty? I mean, how did this thing happen? How does this allow to happen? And why is this happening? I mean, more than ever, we need some sort of discipline, some sort of area that the kids can go to. I mean, what is the rationale, and why is this happening?
Well, it's happening because, there was a meltdown. There was a financial meltdown, and PAL received most of its sources from these big financial companies like AIG, which melted down.
But either way, what we try to do is we're trying to not replace, but we're trying to supplement it. We run Cops and Kids Boxing, Patty Russo, myself, and Teddy Atlas. And we have a kid in the Olympics right now that's a product of Staten Island. He is he's a kid that his name is Marcus Brown. He's light heavyweight. Right. So he's light heavyweight. He's from Staten Island, New York. He's from the Park Hill houses. And he boxes for Cops and Kids. So, you know, our charity, we do try to put into New York City. We're in Bed-Stuy Boxing. We're in Flatbush Gardens, and we're in Park Hill, Staten Island. And we try to work with the kids, basically give them some place to go where they could box for free, and, you know, they could enter tournaments. So we have.
So let me ask you something. Yeah, so let me ask you something. So then again, the Cops and Kids actually replaces PAO, Police Athletic League. Is that what you're saying, in a sense? Hello?
We haven't gotten into the Bronx, we haven't gotten into Manhattan, and we haven't gotten into Queens. We're in Staten Island, Brooklyn right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, so actually PAO is gone for good. I mean, there's no more PAO because we still have centers all in the whole five boroughs. In fact, two or three centers in one borough competing against each other. We used to have the PAL tournaments and
exactly.
All these things and fundraisers. The PAL headquarters was down Lower East Side or something like that. It was PAL headquarters.
Right,
but,
right.
But they had gyms all over the place.
Right. Well, we're hoping that PAL takes it back because, you know, I mean, a couple of times.
That is
yeah, but you're talking 3 years. What would make you think... And we all wish that you're right, but what would make you think that they would take it back?
Well, they got a new executive director, and I forgot her name exactly, but she's looking at it, and there's a possibility. I mean, basically, there's PAL facilities in the Bronx, Queens, and in Harlem that have room for boxing, and if they took it back up, you know, we would start it again. If not, we're going to just try to do it with our police fire shows and our police smokers, and we're going to try to, you know, bring it back up. And we'll bring it up to Cops and Kids, and it's free for the kids in the city, and, you know, we try our best to help them out.
We're going to get to football in a minute, but how this just adds to your continuing cry, your continuing validation that boxing is dying, and if the kids can't get into the game is being cut off at the core, Harold.
Well, yes. I mean, I've been saying that for the longest, and like I've been saying, and everybody, you know, has been ignoring the situation. You've got to have outlets for these young men to go to fight. Now, let me give you a good point. A lot of these kids don't see an outlet in boxing because for one particular reason. There's no bridge that any of these kids can go over to be independent and fight somewhere. If they don't sign with somebody, they can't fight. So none of these kids never get a career on track because of all these promoters, so-called promoters, wants to sign them instead of letting having that bridge like Madison Square Garden was, where they had to be independent, their trainers and managers can just go and get fights and build their careers up and they had outlook to go to make their career go further in boxing. You don't have that no more. So why would I want to waste my time going through a hard sport, going through all those difficulties, going through all those pains and disappointments and still cannot get nowhere in the pros because I don't sign with this guy or this guy and I can't go nowhere because there's nowhere to fight. So I don't blame the kids. That's my feeling about it. Now, everybody might feel sad, but until you get an outlet where the kids can go, like Madison Square Garden, where a promoter is just promoting fights and letting these kids see a future, then your amateur program goes down the drain.
Harold, that was your big reason for not signing with Don King. Independent,
right.
Freedom, and flexibility.
Right. There you go. And I had more fights because I never fought with him. And my situation was the fighters that he had. I mean, when you got somebody telling you when to go, when you can fight, when you can't fight, and they're putting on just a few fights, and if they got a marquee guy over you at that time, and you're just starting out, he's going to fight more than you, and he's going to get more attention. So you might get lost in the ruffle. You might get one fight out of the whole year or something like that. And that's not the way it goes. You want your manager's getting 33 1/3. Your trainer's getting 10%. You want them to be working to get you fights. These managers are not working no more. All they're doing is sitting back waiting for the promoter to say, oh, you're fighting on the 25th of August. Or you're fighting on September 16th. The managers ain't doing nothing.
Yeah,
these kids today know, saying, okay, if I'm a fighter, where is my future going to be? How do I get to the big time? Okay, you can't see the road. There's no road to look down, and that's what people don't understand. And these managers and promoters going around thinking they're doing something, they're not doing nothing. They're destroying the sport altogether.
I propose to what you're saying, Harold. I saw an article, not an article, this ESPN Golpe a Golpe had a series on.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Harold.
Cut off. Yeah.
Harold.
Yeah. No. What's your name? Go ahead.
Well, I got one thing to say. This is Dave. Yeah. I got one quick thing to say. There is a bit of a grassroots movement. You know, they've been doing some fights at the Aviator. DeVella has been doing stuff at Broadway Boxing, and now we got the Barclays Center opening up, and they're going to be big into boxing. So,
but that's,
I mean, some of these kids have a chance to.
Unless you sign with the promoter, you cannot get on the card. And that's bottom line.
You got to find a promoter to get on the card.
In other words, we're right back to what you said. When you sign with Don, you sign with Don, but you fight when Don has a fight for you.
Right.
The center has got Golden Boy, it's got the Bella, but it's got people who are promoters who are going to promote their guys, their fighters. So if you're not a part of their team, you don't fight.
It's almost like a plantation. I mean, each owner has a fighter, and they can't fight until they tell them to fight. Simple as that.
Well, this is what I'm trying to say. Can anybody hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Dusty.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Dusty, unfortunately, we can't hear you. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I needed that. I propose to what Harold is saying, and the other gentleman. I didn't get your name. I'm sorry.
There was a program on 2020,
Golpe a Golpe, ESPN Latino, where they broke down how fighters, it's coincidental how you be talking about the same thing that I saw last week, how fighters get ahead of other fighters and make pretty decent or good money into the millions. They interview Miguel Cotto, they interview Marquez, and it says, we were recruited. And this is we were recruited out of the Olympics. I signed. This is Cotto saying. I signed I got a signing bonus of $100,000 from Top Rank, and for a 10-year contract. And not so much that, but since I was with Top Rank, I was making decent money. I mean, here is a 4-round pro debut. The man made $2,500. I said, holy crap! If I went to 6 rounds, it was $6,500. And then went to 8,000 if it's an 8-rounder, and then 10 or 12,000 for 10-rounders. So right off the bat, these guys were making pretty decent money. Now, if they were promoted into the big time, meaning Showtime, HBO, and pay-per-views, their salaries were astronomical. Yes, you're right. The guy who's not promoted properly falls by the wayside. Like a lot of the Mexicans, why don't they go to the Olympics? This is Olympic year. They don't go to the Olympics because they can't find anybody to promote them, so they turn pro at 15 and 14. Now, coincidentally, I found out today that 4 or 5 of the Olympians that we have in the boxing category, or I don't know who it is, but already signed them up to fight pro sometime in October, November. And with a signing bonus. I was trying to find out what the signing bonus was.
Isn't that against the law? I thought you supposed you can't deal with an amateur during the time or signing them as for any contract.
Harold, this is what I thought about these guys already signed, but I seem to remember many years ago that there was also a program where ex-Olympians were making their pro debut, and I think the main event was Jermaine Taylor, and they the three or four that were making their pro debuts in that particular time. So somebody must have bent the elbow, or somebody found some flexibility in the boxing commissions where these kids already signed up to fight pro in October.
I don't care about the Olympic kids, because ain't none of the Olympic kids, ain't too many of them became world champions anyway, okay? My point is,
right. What
about the kids in the hills, up in the hills,
in
the woods, the kids in the ghetto?
Right, exactly.
What about those?
How do they get
those outlets so they can make $1 million? And they said they're better fighters, they're more hungry, because they ain't got nothing to look forward to. They got to make it.
Exactly. This is exactly why it was shocking to me to hear that the PAL is closed. I said, are you kidding? That took me off the freaking streets, man. And I either play basketball or football or baseball, but boxing was my game. And kids ran into the gym where we met guys like the Gil Clancy's and the Sid Martin and the Frank Rodriguez's and all the guys who nurtured us all the way up into, from the amateurs to the pros.
Well, that
outlet is closed, and that's
the reason why these guys was around, because that's, like I said, they had outlets of places to go. Sunnyside Garden,
yeah.
Blue Horizon, they had all these great places. St. Nick, all right, Madison Square Garden,
exactly.
They had places to go to fight. Today they don't
Eastern
have
Park.
Places to go to fight. Okay,
yeah.
You can ask any promoter. If you get your kid, you get a kid on the car, you're independent. The first thing promoter says, how many tickets can you sell? Okay? You didn't have to go through those problems before. You just make the matches.
But you know what it is? Boxing was much more popular, but you guys were talking about like 50 Cent jumping into the game. That's kind of important because 50 Cent could bring people that normally won't go to boxing.
Internationally, yes.
So, I mean, promoting is all about getting paid attendance, you know. So it's a natural thing that even with these young kids that they're coming out into the game and they're brand new pros.
Well, yeah, but the point being made here is they cannot get into the game because they have no interest in the game. If we have no PAL, if we have no grassroots, we don't have Harold Weston, we don't have Justino Babel, we don't have Ray Leonard, we don't have Tommy Hearns. We don't have those guys because they can't get on the bus because they don't have bus fare. And this is a big problem here. And luckily, there's an outlet, whether it's illegal or legally, for the Mexican Olympians. Okay, so these guys who can't make the Olympics, at least they got a chance to fight and possibly do the big three things you want in boxing: money, fame, and a world championship. Gang, we're going to take a quick break and come right back.
Those guys in Mexico, those guys in Spain, what they do, how they get good fighters, because they do have those bridges, those kids that live in those villages and all that and come up north, they go to those gyms and everything, they spar, but they got an outlet that they can get fights on certain cards.
Exactly.
And that's the reason why the kids are so tough, because for one thing, they make sure them kids are in fights, and who the best man wins come out of there. That's when they start picking out who the favorite kids are going to be in the sport for their country or their gym. And that's the big difference with what we do. We ain't going to forget about amateur pro. We ain't got no amateur pro. And we ain't got no good fighters either in the pro. So that's our big problem. Our kids are not
This type of decline in boxing from the grassroots has caused a ripple effect throughout the professional sport of boxing as a whole. I mean, you don't even have a viable heavyweight. Can you name a heavyweight today that's popular other than the Klitschko brothers?
Right.
Who don't even fight most of the, you know, they fight overseas. I mean, the average boxing fan is not going to say, okay, I'm going to fly from Vegas over to Germany or wherever they have these fights. I mean, you don't even have the interest anymore because you don't have the outlet for these boxers who are hungry out there to fight.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's why the sport of boxing is dying.
I got to talk about my large chunk of your audience to MMA and other such sports. They're losing a huge chunk of their audience to MMA and mixed martial arts.
You bring up a point that's so vital, which you always bring up.
The MMA and the UFC is one thing. They put their guys in fight. Everybody's not undefeated in those UFC to MMA, okay?
It's the point you brought up. They are the best. You don't have... And I'm on my blog too. I'm going to do a story and what you brought up before, you know, you it's Ray Leonard against Harold Weston. It's Tommy Hearns against Marvin Hagler. It's Aaron Pryor against. It's always, as you said, Harold, in MMA, a quality fight.
Right. Yeah. It's quite about quality fight. That's absolutely why people are watching that, because they know it's quality fight. These guys are really fighting. Here in the United, here in the boxing world, you got a guy that's 0-20 fighting a guy that's 20-0. All right, and then you're gonna praise the guy like he's the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's true.
Hey, Harold, his Lucky Willie Johnson, 0-20. But let me tell you something, baby. Oh man, he had some tough losses. He got knocked out in the third round in his first fight. The fifth round in the second fight.
Let me educate you about boxing. Let me tell you what you got to get. You got to get rid of the scoring of boxing. That's what's ruining the sport, okay, with the decision. And let me show you why. If I got a four-round fight, okay, you come out in the first round and you knock me down two times, you go away with a 10-7 round, okay? I get back and I win the second, third, and fourth round. Do you know that I won the fight, but on the scorecard I didn't because it's wrong?
Yeah.
You won three out of four rounds, but on the point system you lost. You won three out of four rounds, but you lost on the point system.
All right. So what are we talking about? This whole thing has got to be everything about boxing, all this nonsense, a lot of stuff got to be thrown out the door. For you make people want to come in and do business or be involved with this sport anymore.
I think he's a big personality again. I think, you know, what interests people in boxing are the big personalities or the big knockout people. I mean, Muhammad Ali, Sugar Ray Leonard, Sugar Ray Robinson, Mike Tyson, because he can knock anybody out. We need that American hero.
Well, it wasn't so much about knockout. It was about personality. And Tyson was the last great heavyweight champion we had that everybody was cognizant and aware of. That had a lot to do with the fact that he was from New York, he was from Brooklyn. You know, when you talk Ali, when you talk Frazier, when you talk Marciano, when you talk Joe Louis, when you talk Tyson, when you talk Ray Robinson, all through their life, if Ray Robinson was on Coney Island last night, you read about it in the paper. If Ali was at Wimbledon last Thursday, you read about it in the paper. If Mike Tyson was out in Vegas at the rodeo, you always knew what the heavyweight champion of the world was doing and where he was. You don't have that anymore. And a lot of that's because we don't have America.
Let me say this. You're not going to get it for one reason. You don't have the trainers. And the trainers are not going to come back because they have no outlet, fellas. They have no outlet to train their fighters.
No outlet from an amateur to a pro to follow the kid all the way to the pros.
If you don't have the trainers to teach them, and these trainers can't come in and kiss these guys behind to put their fighters on the darn show, then they ain't going to be there. So you ain't going to get the Holyfield. You're not going to get the Muhammad Ali. You ain't going to get those great fighters no more because you lost the great trainers because they have no outlet to take their fighters to. Simple to the core. That's where it's all about.
So, Harold, we can officially say, and there's Dusty handing you the rope, we can officially say that for all true purposes, for everything that is, boxing is dying and will soon be dead.
Yes.
It's dying at the grassroots because I go back like a broken record to the amateur clubs, to the neighborhood clubs. You know, in my
Dusty,
day, you know,
Dusty,
as you're talking
Dusty,
about,
Dusty,
as
you don't have to talk anymore. Dave just
talked about
what he's done.
If there's
no PAL, it's done, Dusty. If there's no PAL, it's done.
But
But, Doc, listen, you got to understand, fellas, listen, there's no PAO. There's no Salem Crescent. There's no CBG. There's no Department of Parks. There's no Tremont 18. Those were the clubs that were the minor league for the community kids. Casita Maria had a boxing situation.
Dusty, how much of this? Okay, let's hit the nail on the head. How much of this is because boxing is seen as a minority sport?
Well, it's always has been, Doc. It's always has been a minority sport, or the poor white guy who comes out of the third rail. That's where it comes from. The grassroots kids, the ex-gangbuster, the kid who was given a chance, either go to PAL or you go, or I'll arrest you. All of that, and then the kid who went there and found a new life. Began to drag his homeboys out of the block and, come on, let's go to PAL. Let's go to the Department of Parks. Let's do this. And we found a new life. If these clubs are gone, which they are, we have nothing. We have nothing. Well, I think Mark Breland was in the Brooklyn PAL.
But what you say, Dusty, about Breland is, I asked Mark, how'd you get into boxing? He says, well, you know, I was always fighting. I was getting in fights, and they did the old quintessential story, dragged him on down to the gym. Said, hey, you know, instead of fighting in the streets, come on down here and fight in the gym. He became the greatest amateur in the history of professional boxing. Gentlemen, hold on just a second. We're going to take a quick little break. And we at this time, too, we want to go out to Brazil and say hello to our number one listener. From Rio de Janeiro, as they say in Portuguese, Rio de Janeiro. Rosie is always listening here, no matter when we do the show, an evening show, a night show, we want to say hello to her, and we also want to get well wishes to her father. Her father is in the hospital, he's been feeling better, so we're so glad that you're in our prayers, and we thank God for his recovery and doing better. Go down to Fortaleza, and my man Stevie G, say hi to him, and all my crew down there. There's of course Tomasio Jr., Monica finally got Skype, and Patrice and Josiane, you know, we helped that Jesus got the surgery. She was a terrible motorcycle accident, but she came out through that. But we're just glad that she is feeling better. Sam Paulo, my enfiado, and my enfiado, Chiquinho, number one saxophone player in Brazil, his lovely wife. Everybody from Pan America, Brazil, over down at Fortaleza at Marina Parker in Justino. And be a familiar apartment in Hotel de Tabajá. Hello, my man down in Bahia, my man Joe. Just taking a shot at Brazil. We're going to take a quick little break, and then we're going to come back. That's Danny 13 who take us out of this movie. We'll come back and talk JETS Jets. I'm in the Jet camp today. Larry Hardesty, Coach. Ryan, right away, as soon as he saw his man C-Wing, they started conversating. He liked the suit, he liked the tie. We talked football, got a chance to shout him.
T-Bow!
We got a chance to see T-Bow quickly for a minute, but Danny Turntine is going to come in for a minute. And what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And we thank all of you for joining us. It's Doc Kelly on the Blake Radio Rainbow Solo Channel Sports Network Show. Once you get in the blog, and DocStanleySports.com, and you also know the show here every Sunday night. And check my blog, Doc Stanley Sports In Depth blog. Sports.com. Oh, we'll be right back in just a momento, and we'll be talking JETS Jets and football. C-Wings, we're up at the camp. Guys look good. Don't worry. Delvis Rivas, little hamstring with nothing that's going to keep him out of practice. And after all, it's just practice. Gentlemen, hang on. Anybody say a word, or as my man Sidney Gatlin used to say, don't move another fuck.
The opinions and views expressed by the host and guests are not necessarily the views and opinions of the Blake Radio Network. Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul. BlakeRadio.com.
Doc Stanley Sports Staff on the Blake Radio Network. You know, the Olympics started, and one of the big upsets football, and we're talking about football as the world knows football, which Americans call soccer. And Japan with a stunning 1-0 win over the Euro and World Cup champion Spain, beat them the other day. And with that, Japan took control of the D group. Brazil with Neymar, the number one footballer in Brazil, third best football player in the world, and steady on the rise. 20-0 Phenom out of Brazil. Brazil got up 3-0. He just came back for 2, but Brazil won his first match. And we'll check on the scores today. Both teams played today. And Egypt was sort of proud to be able to give Brazil a game. They played New Zealand today. And we'll get the scores on that for you. So right now, we also, the American female team doing quite well. Big win yesterday, 2-0. A lot of hanky-panky there. The ladies were acting unladylike as a Colombian player hit one of our female players, punched her in the eye. We'll check on the name for it. She became the all-time scorer for goal scores in by a female football player. And mother was a little happy. Phelps. Phelps came up short in the goals day. Basketball team won going away. And with that, let's talk about American football. We'll now turn to the man, who is the right arm of coach. And right, you know, when we were in the thing today, fellas, and even soon as Coach Storm, he looked more like he was wearing Baltimore Ravens colors than wearing New York Jets colors. And Coach, you almost had a flashback there. And got a chance to shout and talk to our one and only. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. Z-Wing, JETS Jets football classic. At the camp, some things, Revis having hamstring problems, but hey, nothing serious. The big thing, though, C-Wings, is that everybody's surprised to see him in camp as they thought he was going to hold out.
Well, the biggest thing is that he did show up. I predicted that 2 weeks ago that it was in his best interest to show up. He has 2 more years left on his contract. The situation was totally different. It's totally different now than it was when he held out the last time. I mean, now he has two years left. I don't think he would have got the support, one, of the fans, and as well as the team, and they would have moved on actually without him. But with the tight hamstring pull on his leg, like you said, it's not a big thing. I mean, it's very early in the training camp season. He did show up to play today, and the trainers, you know, they told him, no, you won't be training today. They didn't want to put him into a situation where we had it, where he had to sit out a couple of games due to the hamstring pull, even after he signed his last contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's expected to take the field tomorrow, and we'll go from there. But the big thing up in Jetland, if you can call it, is the quarterback controversy. I mean, the question keeps coming up even today.
Here we go.
I mean, you know, Rex Ryan has stated before that Sanchez is going to be the starting quarterback. But he also said, you know,
to cut you off right here. I mean, he said that today. I mean, right. And he said two things. Sanchez is starting quarterback, and Sanchez has ingested and digested the system under the new offensive coordinator. But
that was the problem.
Okay, go now. That's where you come in. But what?
But they will make changes where they see fit. That's basically in a roundabout way.
Oh wow!
So,
if we don't go in
the right direction. We will put Tebow in there. Now, I don't know if that's such a good idea as a long-term solution because his completion rates are just not that well. And today they both went 1-for-7. I mean, they did much worse than they did yesterday, which was
they were combined,
worse weather.
See, they were combined 2-for-14. Pardon me for cutting you off. See, they were combined 2-for-14.
Tebow, TR man, Mel Smith Jr.
I want to get in on this controversy along with C. I got to get in on this. Let me say this, okay? And I'll give it back to you, C. First of all, Doc and panel, all right? Obviously, the person who can throw the ball in this mix is Sanchez, all right? Sanchez is the arm, the one with the arm, and he's the guy who can throw the ball. His completion record rate, I think, is somewhere around mid-50s, maybe low 60%. Tebow's is about 46%, okay? But the thing is, okay, I don't know why an offensive coordinator with even a minuscule amount of imagination can't have them on the field at the same time. Okay, if they're not, they can't both play quarterback, okay? But who says you can't, Doc? Who says you can't put Tebow either in the slot, in the halfback position? Who's to say that you can't have him coming out of the tight end position? You can play this guy as sort of a do-all, end-all. You can have Sanchez you can have this guy in the slot. You can have him running the ball. You can have him playing halfback. I mean, the guy's a football player. What is the problem?
You bring a tremendous point because
the problem is that he came in as a quarterback. That's what it is. That's the problem.
And,
You can't put him on the other side of the field. You can't have him coming out of the spot.
Look.
Jets have a lot of problems.
You have guys that are utility men. They play left field, then they come in and play third, then they come in and play first. That's baseball. But in football, you groom one robot to be the quarterback from beginning to end. Then you bring another seasoned quarterback who took his team to the playoffs to also be a backup and be a utility man. I don't think that's going to work. There's going to be a lot of problems.
The pieces in, man.
They call it adding a new wrinkle, Dust. That's what they call it, a new wrinkle.
Well, they got some big wrinkles because this is going to be a controversy all summer.
They better get a steam machine and get rid of those wrinkles because the Jets they're not out of the woodworks yet. I mean, they have a lot of areas of concern. One, they're going back to the ground and pound. And mm-hmm. what the biggest
yep.
problem with that is, you're still working with the same guys you had last year. Sean Green, he's a good running back. But
Ron Dane.
Is he the guy that you could build the team around? I don't know. He's not a Ray Rice. He has to stay healthy for one.
But that's the perfect reason to use Tebow. The guy's 6'3", 6'4", 250, 255. That's the dude. Sean Green is not going to be the be-all and all with the running game. You obviously need a halfback and you're going to do the ground and pound. Sean Green's not going to be the overall guy to be able to do that. You got a guy 6'3", 6'4", 255, just laying around. What are you going to do, sit him on the bench? You're really telling him something. That they're bringing this guy here to take 10 snaps a game and that's it?
Today there was even talk. I mean, C-Wings. Was he playing with the punt team for a little while today, C-Wings?
Yeah, I mean, how do you use him as a running back, and he's a backup quarterback? Yeah, maybe you could use him in a wildcat. I mean, he did put on 9 pounds. He could throw the ball on a run. But his accuracy is not as good as Sanchez, and Sanchez's accuracy is not as good as it should be. I mean, I'm going to tell you this. This is the fourth season, right?
Yep.
If you don't see a productive season, you may see a clearing of the house from the general manager down all the way, I think, to Sanchez. Because you know why it's on the general manager? Is he giving the coach the tools necessary to be successful out there? I mean, Tannenbaum, come on now. I mean, it may start from him, and it may just keep rolling, just like Steve.
Well, Tannenbaum will go before Rex goes, because I agree with what you're saying. See, I think the pressure clearly, first of all, you should have got somebody at that tackle spot to replace Wayne Hunter to begin with, okay? You should have got somebody that has gotten this, shoring up that offensive line. I don't really knock the Tebow thing as much as everybody else, but he should have at least shored up that offensive line because they were coming through those guys like turnstiles last year, and know, your quarterback can't function if he's scared to death all the time.
But, you know, and you know, Rooney, a point brought up today, and I want Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Network for the show. It is a Sunday. And we are here saying happy birthday to Ed Miller. And, you know, I want you guys, as we're doing JT Jets football, I want you to both reiterate, both think on this. Harold Weston Jr. is here, Destino, baby, low is the hoopster. And our special guest, Dave. And Rooney and C-Wings, Larry Hardesty, who we're going to run interview later on in the week, and we want to thank Megan and Jared and Bruce, so good to see them at the camp today. Larry Hardesty said something today, too. He said, you know, the problems that they had in that line is still there. And he mentioned a name. And that does it. That my nephew was so delighted when he first came, a good buddy of boxing. And a guy that they have never replaced. And it's C-Wings and Mel Cosell. Chris Jenkins. Never been replaced. Can't even be replaced.
Nope. I mean, look at the Brickishaw last year. Look at Wayne Hunter. I mean, they brought in tackle Jeff Otah, right? Who's threatening to not be able to pass his physical by Tuesday because of his aggravated left knee injury, which he suffered in the springtime with OTAs with Carolina Panthers. Now, if he doesn't pass that physical, this trade doesn't go through, and here we're back again with Wayne Hunter. So we go to ground and pound. We can't run them to the light with Wayne Hunter. It's going to be the predictable left. And Sean Green, is he the one that could get it done? I just don't think so. Now, let's go to the wide receivers. If they're going to ground and pound, who's not getting the ball?
You're gonna have to add
more paper to that fuse.
Because he will spread it around the locker room. You don't have the veterans like you used to in the first two seasons. I mean, they're gonna have
a lot of problems. Can you relate to them? Doc Stanley, well, just to cut you off, you talked about not having the veterans there, and there was that great line that Larry Hardesty said that San Antonio Holmes can stand up in the Jet locker room and say, who else has got a ring?
Who has a ring?
I mean,
Russ Ryan got a ring, Doc.
He's not taking on any pads. I mean, if this team does not make the playoffs, I don't think, and maybe even win a game and he loses control of his locker room, you will see Rex Ryan, I believe, as a defensive coordinator somewhere maybe next season.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, he's a good defensive coach, but there's no comparison there. I mean, I think maybe he should reiterate that.
He should refrain. He didn't keep his mouth shut. Yeah, he played Pittsburgh the second game. He's going to pay for that, you know.
C-Wings, what you bring up is what Larry said today. And Dusty, you know, Larry said, okay, you are an outstanding defensive coach, but you are the head coach of the New York Jets.
So you are the
special teams. You are the offense.
Yep.
You are the defense. You are the everything coach, and defense is just not your forte. Defense got you here, but you are the head coach, and he looked great to him losing weight. You are the head coach of the New York. Can you divulge in some more of what Larry talked about? And one of the things you talked about, too, that we lost Donaldson, and we lost a leader, but can you slip in and bring everybody away here on the Sports and Death Nation about what the greatest African sportscast in history of this city and country and the sideline reporter. Can we touch on some more of the other? The Jets have problems. Sea wings. Can you touch on some
of those? One of the biggest things, you don't have a pass rusher. I mean, you look at the Brickashaw Ferguson and Wayne Hunter, the tackles that they, the sacks that they allowed. I mean, they had a bad year last year, 8-8.
Right.
That was a big hiccup from the two previous seasons. And the further you get, as you go along in this season and seasons to follow, those two AFC championships get smaller and smaller until memory is, and remember, this is New York. What have you done for me lately?
Mm, yep.
Remember when Chad Pendleton went down and they brought in a backup quarterback, and then he didn't play as well, so they was calling for Chad Pendleton again? You dealing in the biggest market in just about every sport, professional sport, and they want to win, and they want to win now. The only other teams that can really get away with this are the Yankees and the Giants. For a short period of time before they start booing them. So you're playing in a tough market. You're on the forefront. You're on Broadway for professional football. So he has to take control of that locker room. He has to set a tone. And you have to make these good decisions. I don't know how it's going to work with Tebow. I mean, you can only use him for so much rushing. I don't care if he put on 9 pounds. These defensive backs are faster. They run in 4.3 40s. I mean, they're monsters out there. Are you built for that? A quarterback is not there to get
you. Right.
See,
and I propose
that team
would
have looked a lot better
play the double,
with the acquisition.
Well, let me play the double
diamond
game.
That team would have looked a lot better, see. That team would have looked a lot better if they had brought Tebow in, if they had addressed the offensive line question first or immediately after, okay? That trading for Tebow, you know, for the draft choice would have looked a hell of a lot better if they would address if they would have addressed the needs of the offensive line. How can you possibly come back with Wayne Hunter as one of your tackles? It's one thing if you're trying to hide a guy in the guard position, but you can't hide a guy at tackle. The position is doing
well.
More.
You see the thing. You got to understand,
ladies and gentlemen,
to play the devil's advocate, you got to understand one thing. Here, Tebow seems to have come in with a label of a utility man. That's number one. They haven't defined, although there's a lot of rhetoric out there that he's going to do this, he's going to do that, he's going to do that. They use him as a punt return, and he gets banged up. His knees get destroyed. Hey, who's going to answer for that when the man came in as a quarterback? This is what I don't understand about the stupidity of the Jets, of why they do something of this nature. I would have brought in Tebow, and I would have shipped out Mark Sanchez. That's it. Case closed. We got the starting quarterback we needed. But to bring in two quarterbacks, and then we don't know what we're going to use the other quarterback for, and then he gets injured, season-ending or career-ending doing something else other than his resume? That's ridiculous.
Well, I don't mind him being a jack of all trades, Zach, but the punting, I agree with you, is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the punting team thing is absurd.
He's not a Tom Brady. You know, gentlemen, it seems to me that the more we get into this, and I got a brief chance just to shout out on the day, is, you know, you're right. I mean, when they talked about him with the punting and other positions, it seems to me that they just kind of don't know what they're going to do with him. And maybe how much of this now, and it's a question that you have to ask, Doc Stanley, Sports Network on the Blake Rainbow Soda Channel, Sports Network Show, how much of this, and it was talked about today by Larry Hardesty on ESPN, and you know, Steve Wings and Rooney. And Rooney, you're a staunch advocate of this guy. You said they didn't bring this guy here, not the quarterback. Dusty's saying, yeah, but
he's
saying...
I said bring him in, Doc, to take some snaps a game, Doc.
Yeah, but, okay,
not to be honest,
you've been saying that. You've been saying that. And we just got a call, too. Boxing fans, Lady A is on assignment, and Nate B. Baseball is out at the stadium at the Boston Red Sox Yankee game, so they'll be calling in if they can with different assignments. But, no, the question here is, the question becomes very something obvious and maybe prevalent and should be asked, is in wake of the Giants, who have a hell of a football schedule. People talking back-to-back. It's only been done six times in the history of the NFL where a team has won back-to-back Super Bowl, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the San Francisco 49ers, Green Bay Packers, who did it the first time. They won the first two Super Bowls. The Cowboys,
yeah.
The New England.
Yeah.
The question here, gentlemen, and see, I got to start with you, and we'll let Rooney's going to jump in here. But you know, the question comes to mind: how much of Tebow is football, and how much of Tebow is PR? To upstage the Giants and to get, I mean, the Giants won the Super Bowl. I mean, let's face it, the Jets, since the departure of Joe Willie Namath, are second class citizens here. They're number two. So, number two, I mean, Hoopsa, come on, Hoopsa. They had to do something. So, the question, I mean, I'm not saying it. And the thing that Joe Klecko said, I meant to tell Tebow today, and Joe Klecko said, you know, let's look at Tebow. What you're saying, Rooney, it gives you amateur gun. The guy won his division, got his team in the playoffs, and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Klecko said something else about him.
Sure.
Okay? He said the guy brings integrity and credibility to New York City. Now, Larry Hardy said that's all well and good. But the question is, how much of this? That's, you can start it off, because you're the devil anyway. So just that way we'll all be mad at the finish. How much of this, Dusty, do you think is PR? Is Tebow here to play football? Or is Tebow here to sell papers, jerseys, and keep the Jets ahead of the Giants in the PR setup? Dusty?
Doc Stanley, the surgeon of football and sports. I feel, and I felt it for the longest time, was a lot of PR BS. To bring this, first of all, ignited and initiated by John Elway, who was a bum quarterback until he was lucky enough to win two Supes back-to-back. And he kept knocking his poor kid. I followed Tebow. Let me tell you, I'm a fan of Tebow. I followed him in college. This kid was a tremendous football player in college. Didn't he win the Heisman twice or something like that? Was it he or somebody else? He goes into the pros. He's fair to middling. He's like, yes and no, yes and no. Finally, he got a shot to give Denver some credibility, like Lynn Sanity with the Knicks. And but Elway is still not sure about signing him, and I don't know. This is not my question. Man, what are you talking about? You were a bum yourself, man. So here they get rid of him, and they send him over to the welcome arms, the welcome green arms of the Jets, to give him what? What are they going to give him? To give the fans some anticipation of a great football year with two great quarterbacks, which is a bunch of crap, because we all know that you have one starting quarterback and not one starting quarterback who's going to sit in the bench all freaking season. And that quarterback, and show me in history, you experts more than me, show me in history that backup quarterback who was a starting quarterback at another other team ran back punt returns or did running back or was a wide receiver or was a tight end or was a safety. None of that garbage, man. So what are we going to use Tebow for? Yes, Doc. You go to Modell's, you have Tebow, Flebo, Mebo, and go PR and do some work and do some religious work, because he ain't going to do nothing with the Jets. Why? This was a stupid move. Sometimes I wonder about the insanity of the Ryans and the Tannenbaums and the hierarchy upstairs about doing something as dumb as this. Because what can the fans expect? Nothing. Because you're not going to replace. You might as well tell Mark Sanchez, okay, kid, pack your rags, pack your shopping bags, you're going. We're going to use Tebow. Plain and simple. That would have been more respectful to both quarterbacks as opposed to what they're doing now. The anticipation. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Are we going to use him here? We're going to use him there. Oh, yeah, we got to practice here. Put on 6 more pounds because you're going to be a running back. And then take off those 6 pounds because then you're going to be a wide receiver. Nonsense. I mean, this is ridiculous. A lot of it, yes, Doc, you hit it on the head. To me, it's all hype, talk garbage. But come first day of the season, we'll see who is going to play what position, who's on first, like they say in baseball, who's on first and what's on second. Because this, and I don't know who's on third. Because the fact of the matter is that this is all nonsense, man.
And that's basically why I resent the fact that they brought Tebow here. He should have stayed with Denver, and John Elway should have kept his stupid mouth shut and given him another chance. Plain and simple. That's my statement, folks. Hang me. Well, I'm telling you.
You know, I got to be honest with you, Doc. A lot of what Dusty said, I actually agree with. I really actually agree with a lot of what he said. My difference, however, comes in this. I am not that much against the Tebow signing and move, only because I think the guy's a football player. No, he is not really a quarterback as such in regard to throwing the football. But I think he can be useful in other ways. My problem is, as Dusty did say, my problem is with the management. I mean, if you're going to bring this guy in, sure, a lot of hype, they're going to sell a lot of PSLs, a lot of jerseys. But if you're going to bring this guy in, which I really don't have a problem with, man, you have got to address that offensive line. You have got to address the offensive line. If you're going to do the ground and pound with him, you have to have somebody besides, you know, their current back who I agree with C-Wings. I don't think this guy's going to be able to show them the whole load. And you have got to have at least maybe one more offensive outlet in regard to wide receiver, because this is my thing, okay, Doc? I want Sanchez. If I'm Rich Ryan, I call Tebow into my office, the lineman, the whole damn staff, all right? And I say, I'm not looking for you to win the game for us, Mark. I want you to manage the game for us. Don't make the big interception. Don't make the big turnover, okay? But you have to help him put the parts around him to help manage the game. You have to, first of all, you can't have the guy running for his life every other play. That's number one. He should have been addressed the offensive line and Wayne Hunters of the world earlier, okay? If you're going to bring Tebow in, you have to have a means to an end. You can't just bring him in and not address the very things that kept him from the playoffs last year. It makes no sense.
Tremendous point there, Rudy. You know, the number that Larry Hardesty kicked out, and Harold, you're listening to this, and as a man who, as a fan also, got who managed the greatest boxing department of all the sports, and Larry had a great number. And I said, Larry, what does the season look like? He said, Doc, it can be 10-6, or it can be 6-10. How? What's your gut feeling? Are they going to solve this thing? Are they going to win football? Are they going to be better than 8-8 last year, Harold Weston Jr.?
I think they'll be a little bit better, but I don't think, you know, the whole thing about that game and any game in any sports, you got to win the big one, and I don't think they can win the big one. I don't really think they can win the big one, and that's what their whole big problem. One thing about New York, and all you guys know it, you got to win the championship for us, boy. You just can't make the playoffs. You got to win the whole thing for us to be excited and really be with you.
Absolutely.
I don't think they can win the whole big. I don't think they can win the big like that. They're not as solid to me like the Giants are. The Giants is very confident, and they feel that they can pull things off. And they, even in a tight game, they really, even if they're behind, they feel they can come through and win it. And they have done it last year. And this year they look more stronger this year now coming in than they have been a long time.
You bring up a good point, because on Doc Stanley Sports Network on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solar Channel, Sports Network, the show, hey, we got a solid half hour more to go. Colin made a call today and on ESPN. The guy said, well, hey, you know, only six teams have ever won the Super Bowl back-to-back. The first time was done by the great Green Bay Packers, Bart Starr and company. We know the 49ers have done it. We know the Cowboys have done it. We don't know that New England has done it, and the Steelers. I'm trying to think of the other one. But, you know, the guy said something else. He said, hey, man, wait, you know, the Giants had a brutal schedule last year. Okay, they had a brutal schedule, and forget, they weren't healthy. The reason why they were able to roll like they were, because they got healthy again at the right time. So what's to say that a healthy Giant team, okay, cannot do it again?
Doc, they had unexpected players come to the surface that they never thought can really do what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, exactly. like Cruz, you know, nobody knew nothing about no Cruz.
Now all of a sudden he's catching catches all over the place. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, there was those kind of surprises came to us.
Mm. And Doc, I told you the first time I saw him, and you will back me up on this, that Jason Pierre-Paul was going to be an absolute terror.
You know, Rooney, I'm confirmed now that you, and we'll read it next Thursday, the new agent for Pierre and Tebow, Mel Smith Jr.
Rooney,
let us hear it first. Can you tell us here first, Rooney? Can we hear it first that you're the new agent for both those guys? But you did. I mean, you and
well,
I'll never
forget. Well, I can't say that, but I'll tell you how I knew this guy was going to be a physical freak of nature, and I mean that with all praise and respect. When they told me that this guy that's 6'5", believe it or not, you guys are going to laugh, but this is what ticked me off. His first training camp, I'm hearing that this guy is in training camp after camp's over, and he's lollygagging on the field, and this guy's around 6'5", around 285, and the guy's doing backflips up and down the damn field, playing lollygagging. I'm like, this guy's damn near 6'6", damn near 290, the guy's doing backflips up and down.
Yeah,
that's
a
physical freak of nature.
You know, the thing about it, too,
field, I had no doubt, Doc.
Was his game against the Cowboys, which I watched live in Fortaleza, Brazil, and last year. And it was off that game. Chris Collinsworth said that game alone proved that he was an all-pro. And his dad, I believe, is legally blind or blind. And he is no question.
Yeah.
He can stay right and healthy. And it's frightening, you know, when you realize that he hasn't even learned the intricacies of the game, and fundamentally he's a fine player. He's going to be some kind of football player. The thing, too, about the Giants and some things we said, Giants are 9-7. The Eagles started playing football a little too late. But Z-Wings, things that were said here, you know, the Giants are in a very tough division, okay? The Cowboys, if they don't self-destruct, but they seem to never not self-destruct, okay? But the Eagles have gotten better, and you talked about that. And this is the football section. We've got a solid half hour left, so don't leave us. I hope David's still with us, your buddy. And this is the thing. You know, the Eagles have gotten better, okay?
And
if Vic learns to stay in the pocket, they're going to be very hard to beat. But, you know, the thing, too, that was brought up is that, you know, the best team still around probably in the conference-wise overall is Green Bay. And the 49ers have gotten better. But my question with them three wings
and Randy Moss.
My man, my hoops, I got my man Moss, but stop football for just a second. Hoopster.
Yes.
Real quickly. Lynn, will he be successful in Houston? Will he be missed in New York?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, to both.
I'm with him on that. Oh, yeah.
Yes to both. Amen. Give me an amen.
Amen. Dumb down.
Hey, listen. Hey, say what you want, but all donations go to the Doc Stanley Fund, care of. You know what? We're going to talk basketball in a minute. C-Wings, we're going to finish with you, and then we'll slide to some basketball, get back to football. C-Wings, but the thing about the 49ers, I'm not sold on their quarterback. And he kind of, you know, they got Moss. I think they'd have been a heads-on favorite had they got Eli's brother, Peyton. The guy had a breakout year last year. Everybody's talking about them being a better team. C-Wings, and we're going to talk Lynn in a minute, so you're going to start this for us. I'm not sold on the man who quarterbacks the football for them. C-Wings, help me.
I mean, he's not the I don't think he's an elite quarterback, even a top five elite quarterback. But the thing with the 49ers, they have the weapons now.
Oh, yes.
You give a decent quarterback with some good weapons and protection,
How's their defense? How good is their defense?
The defense is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The defense is pretty good. I mean, you know, they got some big guys in the middle, on the line. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers are probably one of the most complete teams out there.
Wow.
And watch out for them. Watch it. They got the vertical threat with Randy Moss, and they said that he's taken a –
a lead role in being a leader out there. I mean, he's bringing up all the wide receivers to the front of the meeting room. I mean, he's really taking the bull by the horn. So
this is his last chance, that's why.
Well, you know, not so much his last chance, Hoops. You know, he did these same things in New England, you know, and it's when he came to New England, I'll never forget the first press conference that New England had because they played the Jets, and Tom Brady said, hey, he's a leader. He's always been a leader. And he talked about in practice, nobody works harder, nobody knows their plays better. And he told Randy Moss when he joined New England, he said, you know, now that you're here, we can run the table. Now, I get tired of these tags that are always put on African-American and Hispanic. Me and Dave Ortiz talked about yesterday, the tags that are always put on us of our inability to be dedicated, our inability to be cerebral, our inability to take pride in the game that we play. Randy Moss has been the greatest offensive end in his era and one of the greatest of all time. And he's always had this kind of – it's just amazing that you know, and you have to understand that too often what's written by us is not written by us, okay? I mean, mm-hmm. It's always, you know, a non-African-American that's writing the story about an African-American. And the problem here, too, is us. New York City, how in the hell did we ever get rid of Larry Hardesty? And where is a daily New York paper in New York City in the 21st century? Sad and touching again. Hal, you better trademark this thing, as I'm going to do it, man. Sad and touching in the words of Harold Weston. So, you know, we got to get away from all this, you know, this negative. He said his last chance. You know, he didn't play last year. Nobody picked him up. How the hell are you going to pick up a Randy Moss? New England wouldn't pay him. It wasn't the New England way. It wasn't the New England way to pay a black athlete, but you had no problems to pay Brady. That was no problem. You know, it's always a problem when it comes to paying an African-American athlete. Same thing with Emmitt Smith when he held out. Emmitt had to hold out. Troy Aikman, they just gave the money automatically. Same thing here with Dr. J and Rick Barry. Roy Bowe told Rick Barry, don't leave me. I will give you anything you want. Julius told him, give me a handshake that you will consider giving me a contract, and I'll sign a new contract this year and play for free the rest of this year. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. And let me tell you something. You can talk about Michael Jeffrey Jordan all you want. At 26 years old and the ABA, he wasn't the equal of Julius Dr. J. Irving. That was the most exciting, most dynamic player to ever play the game. But these are the things we always hear. It's just amazing. Yeah. It's just amazing. We got to kind of – good. Okay, so – you like their defense. We're going to get back to football. Hoopster, you say, yes, Lynn will be successful in Houston. Yes, they will miss him in New York. You will start it off. Howell's going to come behind you. Explain that to us.
First of all, he was a market machine. The stocks rised up. He sold jerseys. He made, and plus he had that strike with the other company, and he got the cable back on. He just did a lot for the Knicks.
Right.
You know what I mean? Did a lot. Nothing for one person to do that. You know, that's unreal, man. And plus, in Houston, you know, he's going to make a lot of money in Houston. He's going to be the starting point guard in Houston. He'd have been starting the Knicks, too, as Mike Woodson said. He'd have been starting. Well, that's the Knicks' fault, too, Doc. I blame the Knicks without even trying to talk to him first. But he was a free agent. He was a restricted free agent. A lot of people don't understand that. He was a restricted free agent. He
explain
could
talk
to anybody he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks should have went to him first, but they didn't. So he wanted his options. I would say the same thing. It's business. You can't blame him for making money. You can't stop making a buck. It's not his fault.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised by the Knicks because, like I said a long time, when they traded Bernard King over when they were bringing Patrick Ewing in, that's the year they could have won the championship. Mm-hmm. But the Knicks, the people up front thought they had this big mirage of what do they call it, the Twin Towers or something like that.
Bill Cartwright and Patrick Ewing. Yeah.
Yeah, they bring this amateur coach that's gone now. He wants this Twin Tower action, but you get rid of one of the greatest shooting guards in on your team, and you trade them off. So what the Knicks did with Lynn was stupid, too. And they're going to miss out on it. Believe me, they're going to miss those tickets. And I can tell you, when the Knicks start losing during the season, that's when everything's going to go down to the basement. And when it goes to the basement, that's when they're going to realize what they lost. And I can tell you, what Lynn did, that strike with that network would never have settled like it did if it wasn't for Lynn. I'm telling you right there. He was right about that. I mean, it's just, you know, here's a guy selling you more tickets, getting you more tickets sold, your
jerseys.
All your T-shirts are being sold out. And you know, you got a guy that brought New York back to life. I mean, when the last time we were cheering for the Knicks?
Not to mention, he brought the agent market in.
That's exactly
and you know, and not only that, Dusty, he brought them in from New York City, from the nation and the world.
Remember, when Lynn came in, the Knicks was on a losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
When he came back, when all the guys got hurt and he came into play, they was on a losing streak. They just threw him in because they didn't figure they were going anywhere. Then all of a sudden they won 8 straight games in a row. And now all of a sudden they're in the spot. You know what I'm saying?
But then when you look at it, Barrow, when you look at it, when they played Miami they studied the film and they shut them down. And remember, after that, it was San Antonio, then it was Chicago. And I'm not sold on him being an elite point guard, not even a good point guard that the Knicks need. I say good riddance to him. I wish him the best in Houston, but he's going to have to play out there in the West where you got some big guys out there. I'm telling you, James Dolan, I'm not a big fan of his, but I think he made the right basketball decision when it came to Lynn. Yeah, even when the Knicks played bad, they still sold out Madison Square Garden.
Of course,
this guy is not. I like the trade they made for him.
Jason Kidd.
Send him to Houston, and the only twin towers they ever had in the NBA was David Robinson and Tim Duncan.
Well, one thing about it, we will see, the season's getting ready to come to. Start, so we will see what happens.
Well, he comes to the Garden December 17th, but we'll see. We will see.
It's
going to be big.
Let me say, it's just not. Forgive the Lynn thing is gone. The Knicks better make it to the playoffs, and then if they make, they better win the championship. Okay. One thing about this city, you spend all this money for all these so-called superstars that's supposed to get you to the at least to the playoffs, but definitely you're supposed to be winning the championship. And one thing that the Knicks can't do, and we all know it, let's stop playing with each other. We all know they can't win the championship. So basically, you're throwing money away because they cannot win the championship. You know that.
Well, that's true, Al. They're not going to go to Miami. I mean, they're going to go to the playoffs. They may win 50 games. There's no way they're going to Miami.
Right.
So
who is going to go through Miami? I mean, Miami stays healthy. And the key to Miami, I mean, Ray Allen, a great addition. But, you know, I think we saw last year that the key to Miami, and you can talk about LeBron and, you know, Dwayne Wade is starting to be a little injury prone here and there. But Bosh is the key to these guys. He's the guy that does – I mean, the thing that Stephen A. Smith talked about when the Lakers lost to Chicago was that it was Scotty that played the defensive role on Magic. And it's Bosh.
Yeah.
You know, when Bosh got better, so did Miami. So, no, he's a key factor. As long as they can stay healthy, you're right. All roads are going to go through Miami. And with the addition of Ray Allen, I mean, they're only going to get they should be able to do two in a row. But I don't forget that great line that people talk about. And sometimes you got to look back at our history. And to win it 2 years in a row is nice to win it 3 years in a row. We talk about Michael Jeffrey Jordan, the great Michael Jordan. Michael is the great basketball player.
No, Doc, my point is this, Doc. And this is my
hold
point.
On, hold on. Hold on.
Why is the Knicks spending so much money on these so-called players that we're supposed to have to take us to the title and we can't win?
No, Howard. Your point. I mean, my point is this. I mean, you were talking about one. I mean, the Boston Celtics won the World Championship 8 years in a row. 8 years in a row. 9. 8 years in a row they won it. So, the Knicks have any, and you know, the thing I like about this whole thing is they can't blame Isaiah Thomas. I mean, as many they brought two guys in here. They brought a new coach, a new GM. They did the exact same thing Isaiah Thomas was doing. You never heard anything about it, and now they can't blame Isaiah anymore. And
is what I'm saying is that we all know, we all sitting here, we're saying it all together, is the fact that they can't win a champ. They can't win the championship. So what is the purpose of spending paying all these guys if they can't win the title?
Well, you know, they are going to the championships as spectators. I can't even see the Knicks getting past a team like Indiana. That's the team to watch in the next couple of years, Indiana. They're young. Once they start working together, and I don't know if anyone agrees this with me, Indiana is the team to watch in the East behind Miami in the next couple of years because Boston is getting old.
How much have the loss of Bird? I mean, if I'm correct, Larry, my buddy, he's no longer the GM there. Am I right, Hoopsa?
No, he's not. No, that's going to hurt them big time.
How much and why?
Larry put that team together, man. Because he was executive of the year, they let him go like that. And plus, you know, the reason why he left, he wanted a guard, and the owner they wanted him to trade for a guard. That's why Larry left, because they want to get a guard. He said we need a shooting guard for Pete. He didn't listen to get Larry's advice, so Larry just left.
You know how it seems that that in a lot of ways, some of the things in basketball are so much equivalent and equal to what you say about boxing, of people in the business who have no real concept of the business. And you, and I know I'm redundant when I say it, and I've said it a million times, but I just never can forget coming up to your office, and you weren't there, and you were over at Gleason's, and John Condon came in, and John said, "Oh, Mel," he said, "there's a guy over there. He's got a guy throwing a jab up in the air. Who throws a jab up in the air?" Oh, my goodness. John went to the office. And about a half hour later, you came in and you said, "Mel, you know, these guys have got diamonds out there, but they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know how to train them. They don't know how to take care of them." And it seems, you know, here's a Larry Bird who's won championships, one of the 50 greatest players. You would think somehow that somebody would listen to what he had to say and say, "Well, you know, he's got an idea." But it seems to be across the board somewhat people who don't know or in the know and really don't know. And you know, Dusty, it once again, with that great line from Harold, sad and touching, where nobody's willing to listen to somebody who's come before them to help them go forward.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, you know what the problem is, Phil, and this is really just a real generation problem, is that the people that's out there today who don't really know, they don't want to listen to nobody that really knows, because they want to be stand out, okay? And if you come in there and blow them out the water, they're not the people that stand out like everybody thought they were. And so the problem is this young generation, they don't want to listen. They don't want to hear it. They want to keep it the way they've been doing it for the last 10 to 15 years, and they want to be the man. So, you know, the thing is they'd rather have it destroyed before they have it being successful at it. And that's what the problem is. And that's the reason why we're going downhill instead of up.
Right, yeah. Hey, Doc, I got something else to tell you. Orlando Magic finally got a coach.
Who's the coach?
Josh Vaughn. He used to be assistant coach of San Antonio Spurs. He's now the coach of Orlando Magic.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the story with Mr. Howard?
Well, they tried to get rid of him as soon as possible. He's a beat me a pain in the ass. They tried to get rid of him. They tried to dump him somewhere.
You hope so.
He told him time and time again he went out of there. You know what I would do?
God damn, U.S. just lost
just
home, boy.
Just pay him, just
oh,
let him
my God.
Hold on. Here's the break. What's Harold? What happened, Harold?
The U.S. just in the relay and of swimming,
yep.
The U.S. just
they're
came
lost.
In second. Jesus Christ, how did they get deep? They were way
yep.
ahead.
The anchor man slowed down.
Yeah.
Who beat him, Harold?
What the heck happened there?
Yep.
So they want to win silver?
The anchor man slowed down. I don't know why.
Mm. Oh, my God.
They got whipped.
They got beat.
And Phelps lost, too. He lost. He lost today.
Yeah.
But they should have won this. They should run this relay. They should have won this.
They were ahead all along.
They were ahead the whole time.
Slow down. You see that? He's
slowing
down right now.
Who beat them, Hal?
France beat him.
Wow.
Hmm. Oh, my God. I mean, he really beat him good.
Yeah, beat him.
You heard it first. You heard it first.
Live here on Sports and Depth. France beat the USA. It had a lead. And what event was that, Dusty?
The 100.
Freestyle, 4x100, 100 relay, freestyle.
Wow.
And they have everybody beat by a yard. I mean, back and forth until the last guy you slow down. I don't know what happened to him.
Muscat.
Black is the one that's supposed to took it, brought it home. Oh, my God.
Yep.
Man.
Live.
I know. I was shocked too.
That's the USA.
Cox, what's in there? We cover the sports. We cover the world.
Hey, that great line, the old Jim McKay, scanning the globe. We got him on here.
The globe. Yeah.
I got to save myself now. Sad and touching. Sad and touching.
Live from the lip to brought it to the world.
Harold, have mercy.
Harold Weston Jr., Dino, baby, Lord. So who's the spirit?
Seeing that you're talking about
to the world.
What were you saying about Howard, Doc? Were you asking about Howard again?
Yeah, I mean, what's the story? Is he going to stay? Is he going to move? What's happening?
Well, it looks like he's going to stay for a while because they can't turn to the January 15th deadline. So I guess it's going
to
be for a while.
To when? To January?
Yeah, to the trading deadline. That's correct.
So he's going to start the season with him again.
I guess I believe so because you know what it is? They wanted to trade him to the Lakers. But Bynum didn't want to start an extension. Bynum did not want to go to the Cleveland in a three-way trade. They tried to get another team to trade with him, and they wouldn't do it. So Bynum didn't want to start no extension. So they called
the deal off. But wasn't Howard a free agent at the beginning of this year? Couldn't he have signed with anyone that he wanted?
He signed a one-year extension.
Yeah, I know.
But after that,
wasn't he a
free
agent? I'm asking Hoop is, wasn't Howard able to sign with whoever he had pleased earlier in the year? Wasn't he an unrestricted free agent?
He was a free agent, not a restricted free agent. He was a free agent.
Unrestricted free agent, right?
When you're a restricted free agent, you can go any team you want to. When you're a free agent,
right.
You can't sign with nobody. You got to put a
My thing is, why did he just sign if he wanted to sign with the Mets so bad? Why didn't he just sign with them when he was a free agent? Why didn't he sign another contract with them and then press him to go with the Mets and then try to press him or sign him to ship him to the Mets? Why didn't he sign with the Mets?
Nobody don't want to trade with the Nets because can you imagine the Nets got Howard? The Nets would be something to wreck with in that division. It won't be Miami. Well, Howard with Joe Johnson and Devin Williams?
Gentlemen, let's take a quick break. Nobody say another word. As Sidney Gatling Jr. would say, don't move another feather.
All day, all night, all the time. BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul.
As you know, in the past, last month this time, I was in Fortaleza, Brazil. We gave the show from São Paulo, Brazil, Fortaleza, Brazil. We'll have to check to see how they did today as they were pursuing their second victory, moving to finally win a gold medal in the Olympics. They've won the most gold.
China got the most gold so far, Doc.
So far? So far, China got the most gold.
China got
the most. We want to once again say hello to our good friend Rosie. She'll be sleeping by now, though, in São Paulo and Rio de Janeiro, and all our other listeners from Brazil. We want to thank them for listening in, and everybody else across the globe who takes time out to listen to Sports and Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Solo Channel, Sports and the Show. We've talked J.E.T. and Jets. We've talked baseball. Yankees are the number one team in baseball. 8-game lead today over the second division foes. And we've also talked about the Jets. The Giants were quietly putting themselves together.
They're losing right now 2-1, Doc. They're losing 2-1, eighth inning.
Yeah, I remember that. It's a 2-run double early in the second inning, drove in 2 runs for the Sox. One of the things I had on my blog, if you go to my blog too, I did a story just the other day. That blog for you who want to catch me, Doc Stanley Sports in Depth. blogspot.com/docstanleysports.com. Also, docstanleysports.com is my other site. You can get this here every week here on Sports Today. I don't understand this thing about Ichiro going to left field when you're talking about the greatest defensive right fielder that ever played. Swisher, I think, is more apropos in left field. It's not the fielder that Ichiro is. As well as being a lefty, you've always got the glove guarding that line. And at the same time, too, I guess Ichiro, I talked to Eddie Murray the other day. And that was an amazing thing, Dusty, where they abducted Cal Ripken Jr.'s mother, found out whose mother she was, I guess, and brought her back. It reminded me, Harold, it reminded me of that time the guys robbed you and brought your money back. You know, and I talked to Eddie Murray the other day, who concurred with me on the same situation with Ichiro being in right field. We talked some boxing. 50 Cent now is going to be the promoter, for all intents and purposes, for Floyd Mayweather Jr. He comes out. I have conferred with my people at MSG that there is something in the works. There is a tentative date kind of set up for December where Miguel Cotto, I believe, will be one of the fighters, and we don't know if it's Mayweather, we don't know if it's Timothy Bradley, and we don't know if it's Alvarez, but there is something.
It'd be suicide for Mayweather to come in so early. He's getting out next week. He got a month off for good behavior. But it'd be foolish for him to get back into the gym and fight and have a date. Give himself some time to re-energize mentally, psychologically, or whatever before he faces any, you know. The name of his team with the 50 Cent is the TMT, the Money Team. That's the name of the team. It's the Money Team. And 50 Cent is going to be his promoter. Forget Golden Boy and forget everybody else. It's 50 Cent. And 50 Cent being a worldwide, universally recognized businessman who owns that Prime Water, whatever the heck it is.
Vitamin Water.
And, you know, he has all the worldwide connections. So if Floyd's going to get, normally gets 25 mil a purse, you know that's almost going to double, man. And
Carol?
Because he's going to take them all over the world.
Harold?
So, yeah.
I think that, you know, my Floyd's been resting for 3 months. What 2 months. I mean, he don't need no more rest. I mean, come back up. He did nothing. All he's doing is sitting up there. I hope he didn't gain too much weight. That's what you got to worry about.
I'm with Harold. I mean, if he gets out in August.
The only thing he should be doing, like I felt when I came out the Army, be mad, be ready to do it, and whoever gets in the ring, you're going to get a good behind with it. Simple as that.
He's going to get
2 or 3 months to get ready for it, so it ain't nothing for him to sit back for.
I mean, he comes out in August, you do the press conference in September, and you fight in the Garden, and you better jump on it now.
In December.
Yeah, and you feel proud. It's a no lose situation for Mayweather, because if he would lose the fight, then do we do it again? We got a trilogy.
There's nobody really to give him a threat, and that's the reason why he can fight pretty much anybody. There's nobody really. If he fights Cotto, I mean Cotto is just going for the payday. He ain't gonna be trying to win. I mean, he'd be all right for 3 or 4 rounds, but he ain't gonna put it all out there. Like, you know, he's not young no more. It's just about the money for him.
Floyd already seen it.
The boxing fans will pay. Cotto has a strong Hispanic following. It's in Madison Square Garden.
And a lot of folks are saying he got robbed.
Let me tell you,
they say he got robbed, so he deserves another shot. Number one. Number two, getting back to Floyd. Floyd's complaint was he wanted house arrest instead of prison. Psychologically, he was locked up 23 hours and then out 1 hour to exercise. He wasn't getting the right foods. I mean, this is comical. He wasn't getting the right foods, I mean, to keep his body nourished. He didn't get any chance to exercise and train and everything. I mean, what did he want to go? Club Net, like organized crime?
Dusty,
you know,
he's a boxer. He's not part of the Gambino family. What's he talking about?
This is what I'm saying. So this is what he was saying. So I would say, based on that, which has a ring of truth, don't take a chance. You want to stay undefeated, don't take a chance. Get yourself psychologically, put yourself in a mental hyperbolic, clean yourself out, start eating the right foods and take care of yourself, and maybe January. But I wouldn't push the envelope to December.
I can't see waiting. I mean, you mean the last thing you need to happen.
I don't see what the waiting for. What's the waiting for?
There's not that many guys he can fight. He's been healing up. Like I said, he feels as though he can beat Cotto, and he better jump on the chance to fight in the Madison Square Garden while he gets a shot at it.
Right.
That's another thing, too.
Well,
I mean,
he bet.
Hold it. Is this the real Dusty? He said, well, right. Somebody read Cotto.
Yeah, right. I don't really think the guy wants to fight anymore, Doc.
He's a money man.
If the 50 cent says $100 million,
he's made a ton of money. Rooney, he's not a rocket scientist. You know, he doesn't have a degree to go back on teaching. Okay, he's not going to make that kind of money.
What
no
do you need a degree? That guy's going to get $1 million. What do you need a degree for?
That's my point. The point is, though. This is what he does best, and Larry Holmes once told me it's hard to stop doing the best thing you do in life when people are going to pay you for it.
I understand that, but we have Howard on the line and Dusty, former championship fighter. Hey, Doc, fighting is hard, man. Training is hard. I know I know this is what he does. I know he's used to this and all that. But Doc, and you have the champions on us. Fighting is hard, Doc.
No, I understand it's hard, but it's what he does. I mean, being a cop was hard. It is what I did.
I
understood it was hard.
Pro wrestling is hard. That's what I did. But by the same token, Doc, hey, you know, there's a certain point where you have to look to do other things. The guy has $100 million. He made it. Let me tell you something. Even though Marvin Hagler said, Doc, what do you say something to the effect that, hey, it's hard to, what do you say, it's hard to get up and run 10 miles when you've been sleeping in silk pajamas, something like that?
Yeah, but this boy still likes to fight. This boy still loves to fight. This boy still wants to fight. And this boy still can make money. It is better to retire a little too late than to retire a little too soon.
Not when it comes to boxing, Doc. I don't agree with that. You don't want to retire too late when it comes to boxing. There's nobody out there right now
that can beat Mayweather. Mayweather doesn't have a threat.
Directly, Doc, I agree with you. You have to understand, Doc, that boxing is one of the few sports where guys grow old overnight. Okay? One day, you can see the guy looking like a world beater. The next fight, guy gets knocked out in 2 rounds, and you wonder what the hell happened. We all thought Roy Jones, I don't think Mayweather is
at that position and point in his career. And 2 or 3 months locked up outside of the ring has not hurt. That's one of the things that hurt guys like Mancini, Animal Fletcher, guys who took beatings and in training took beatings. I don't think this, and it's been a small amount, and they got him off early. They got him, you got to take this opportunity. If you missed a jump shot, okay, but you took it. He cannot, and in lieu of what he can do for his legacy too, New York Press, Madison Square Garden, Harold, Wilfred Benitez, Duran, Aaron Barkley, Vito Antifermo, they owned Madison Square Garden. It enhanced them. It took their legacy. It took them places. People knew all over the world. Mayweather, as renowned as he is in America, the Garden, the press, it'll be a great thing on his resume. It will enhance his resume, and it's something he can add positively to his legacy. Tommy Hearns never fought the Garden. Ray only fought one time. Okay, Ray didn't want to fight Harold, but he only fought one time in the Garden. This is, for no other reason, Dusty, if he can fight at Madison Square Garden, he better jump because he'll never, I don't think, get the chance again.
You are absolutely right. It's surprising I agree with you. But what I'm saying, the only way I agree with you is, yes, I've been telling you and I forgot. He's getting a month to 90 days. Plus, he got 3 days already chopped off. So it was only 87 days. So not a month off. So he gets out in August. August 3rd is going home day. August 3rd, and I know that for a fact.
Going home this week.
So,
on this week.
Yeah, right. Yeah, next week.
Next Friday.
Yeah, next week. So he goes home that month. He reacclimates, goes back to the gym, runs a little, starts doing his loosening. Maybe I agree that he should fight within this year. That's the only time I agree. Other than that, I mean, the psychological breakdown of being locked up ain't no joke. So that's what I would say. Get that, expurgate yourself out of that stuff out of your system, and maybe January. But what's the difference between January and December? But if he's getting out a month early next week, well, then he's fine. I would agree with you.
Let me give you a good scenario of getting locked up. Being taken off the street, being drafted, all right, then getting to the service, have your little conflict with all the guys you have, go be put in the brig for something for 30 days, 60 days, all right? Come back out, you're still in the military, okay? My point is this. It didn't psychologically bother me. I still came home in four. And I didn't tell you about 4 feet in the frame while I was in the Army.
Right. Okay.
And he was undefeated.
In fact, you were the first guy to beat Peter in the frame.
Like I'm saying to you, you're mad.
Mad. Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he's going to take the fight, and he's going to be better prepared, because you know what he knows now? Nothing, anything can happen. He can be taken right off the street, just like that.
Right.
Yes. When you beat Vito Anafirmo coming out of the military to beat him in sort of a stopover, I believe he was 16-0.
Right. But you have to understand one thing. The reason why your story is credible, even and of course it's true, because you're Harold Weston and I'm dealing with Floyd Mayweather. There's two different bodies, man. There's two different people. You cannot put his mind in your mind.
I'm trying to give him a little credit.
We don't know what this guy is.
And you know what, Dusty? Now, Dusty, you really messed me up, because now I can ask you, hey, Dusty, is this a black thing? I can't even say that now. You just messed it up, huh?
Yeah, you got to deal with a forensic or the psychosis of two different people. No, really. Really, the pathology of what one person thinks and feels as opposed to the other. Go ahead.
I gotta agree with you, Dustin, because I am a little more crazy than Floyd Mayweather.
We're in the closing moments here. Real quickly, Sea Wings, JETS Jets. Is it gonna be 10-6 or 6-10? 6-10.
I may put them at 10-6, maybe 11-5 at best.
Wow.
0-16. If it stays like this.
Mm-hmm. That's it, real quickly. 10-6 or 6-10?
I'm going to be very honest. I wait for the only opening bell of the first day of the first game, and I can tell you what's going to be. But I'm still bothered by this two starting quarterbacks, and he should have stayed in Denver. Plain and simple. So I don't know what's going to happen with the Jets. To me, it's up in the scrambles, man.
Rooney, 10-6 or 6-10?
Neither, Doc. I'm thinking maybe something like 9-7, depending on if they get a break either way. And meanwhile, the world championship giant slipped quietly under the radar.
Hoopster, 10-6,
yeah.
6-10.
I say like 7-9.
Harold.
And you heard it from me, Tebow will be starting out of the 6th or 7th game.
Wow.
Really? Harold, real quick.
Wow.
I'm going to say that last year was a tough year for all the teams. I mean, it was a great year for football, and all the games were great, and all the teams were great. And it's better now, the teams added on a few more better plays on there. I give them 9-7.
Okay, gentlemen, Larry Hardy has something to say.
This concludes another edition of Sports in Depth
with Doc Stanley. We thank you for listening and encouraging you to tell a friend about Sports in Depth with Doc Stanley. You can hear that and many other great programs on the Blake Radio Network. Have a great day.
Close out with three thoughts. Leave your life today as you stand for guard tomorrow. Life's most insistent, most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Service to others is to make you pay for your space on earth. Rosie, good night. Trust in God. Gentlemen, they're back here next week. Destino, baby. Lois the Hoopster. Sea Wings.
Everybody. It was fun.
Yankees tied the game up, Doc. 2-2. They tied it up.
They two tied it up.
Yankees came back. 2-2. Yep, 2 hours. Yep.
Hoopster, gang. Rooney, tell everybody good night.
Thank you, Doctor. The Sports in Depth Nation's been here. The Sports in Depth panel's been here. I'm Mel Chris Jr. I've been here. We've been brought to you via the Blake Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink's been here. And that's Doc Stanley. Thank you, Doc.
Good night, gang. Love you, fellas.
Good night,
God fellas. Bless. God take
bless.
Care.
God bless.
Good
you.
Night.
Bye-bye now.
Keep, and all of you keep safe. God bless.
Bye.
Sports in Depth on the Blake Radio Network, Rainbow Soldiers Channel. Sports in Depth is the show. Panel members, Destinio, Baby Lois Jr., Harold Weston Jr., Mel Cosell Smith Jr., Raymond Sea Wings, and the Hoopster Lewis Hart. On location, not tonight, was Nate B. Baseball as at Yankee Stadium at the 2-2 score of the Yankees-Boston Red Sox game, and Lady A, who is on covering boxing. God bless you all, and trust in God.